Well, friends, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you imagine being in Ezekiel's shoes? Well, in the vision, right? Ezekiel sees this vision, and it's not just a vision he sees, he's actually experiencing it. He's walking around in the vision, and where he's walking around, he's hearing crunching under his feet, right? Bones. A lot of bones. Many bones. Brittle bones. Dry, white bones. Walking around, and it's a battlefield. It was not so much a battle as it was a massacre. Bones laying around everywhere. Death, a lot of death took place there. And it took place there a long, long time ago. These bones are really, really, really dead. And then God asks an absurd question, doesn't he? Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? I don't know, God, they're kind of crunching under my feet right now. You tell me, right? What an absurd question, isn't it? Can these bones live? It's ridiculous. It's laughable. Boy, wouldn't that be nice, right? We're pretty used to death, aren't we? It's just normal. You know, sometimes I say at funerals that hey, remember, death is not natural. We were supposed to live forever. I'll say that sometimes, and I get people who look at me like, what planet do you live on, right? Death is so normal. It's so common. We are so used to death winning. We're so used to it that as we walk around in a valley of death and hear the bones crunching under our feet, we're used to it. Oh, yeah, that just happens. That's normal. Death robs us of what life should be. Death brings an end to something that should never end. And I don't know about you, but death, we fear it. We grieve it. Because it robs us of everything. You know, we had a funeral this last week for one of our longtime members. In fact, she was a founding member of Beautiful Savior, Barb Schwind. We had her family there and all that. But something really stuck with me is you know, after the service, at the funeral home there, they all go up to the casket and they kind of pay their final respects and come back around. And then the last folks to go back up and see her one last time is the family. And I think it might have been her great-great-granddaughter, but she was about a 4 or 5-year-old girl. She had never seen this before. And it was heartbreaking because she started weeping loudly in the funeral home. And there's nothing you can do about that, right? You just have to let her weep. And of course, there's the parents, and they're trying to console her, and they're trying to talk to her about it, and they're trying to share the hope that we have in Jesus, but there's nothing you can do about that. Once death wins, it just wins. And then there's loud weeping. We fear it. We grieve it. And the other thing about death is it doesn't just happen there at the end, does it? No, it's got tentacles. Death is a monster with tentacles, and those tentacles reach backwards into our lives, and they take hold of our lives, don't they? And so it's not just dying at the end. It's not just ceasing to exist at the end. No, death wraps its tentacles around us physically, doesn't it? So that we've, in the meantime, while we're still alive, we have sickness and we have deformities and we have deterioration of our bodies, right? And aging and aching and bodies that don't work the way that they should. Anybody have one of those bodies? That's death's tentacles reaching backwards into your life. And then there's the emotional stranglehold it has on you. With bitterness and fear and shame and anger and loneliness. And there's the mental tentacles it has on you where your cognition is not what it should be. And your memory starts going, you can't remember the things that you want to remember, and then there's anxiety, and there's depression, and all the mental illnesses that we see in our world, and then there's the relational tentacles of death, with broken marriages, and estranged children, and relationships that go sour, and fights, and stress, and annoyances, and then there's the vocational tentacles of death, where you see your work as pointless and your existence as purposeless. And of course, death's probably got more tentacles than just those. Oh, and by the way, there's that one really big one, isn't there? Sin? You ever heard of that one? There's that monster tentacle of the monster of death that has a stranglehold on our lives. Sin, to commit sin and to be a sinner is walking death. Those many dry bones that Ezekiel sees in his vision, they're us. We are the valley of dry bones. And in his time, Ezekiel is prophesying to Israel, Israel in exile. And so Israel saw themselves as the valley of dry bones, but it's not just them, it's also us. And if it's us, that also tells us that we are dry bones, right? Which means that there's no self-help program that will suffice. You ever see dry bones do a self-help program? And there's no doctor that can give you a medicine for dry bone syndrome. And there's no teacher that can teach dry bones how to live better lives. And there's no examples for how bones go from bones to living. And there's no therapist that can talk to bones about their problems about being bones, and then they get along better and they live better. No, that doesn't work that way, does it? Dry bones don't need repair. They need resurrection. You know what we need? We need a Savior who can make dry bones live. Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, Son of Man, Ezekiel, can these bones live? I love Ezekiel's answer. Oh, Lord God, you know. You got to appreciate Ezekiel's faith here for a moment, don't you? Right? Who is he? Who is Ezekiel to presume that he knows anything in the presence of an all-knowing, all-powerful God? Yep, most of the time when I see a valley of dry bones, those things aren't living. But God, if you're going to ask, I'm not going to presume to know anything compared to what you know, God. So, oh God, you know. Because does Ezekiel know for certain that God couldn't prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, by the way, has anybody here ever talked to dry bones? If you do, you and I should probably talk, all right? Prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause a breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will say, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Can these bones live? All right, well, let's test it out, Ezekiel. Start preaching to these bones. I know how that goes. I'm joking. It's ridiculous. Imagine seeing some guy walking through a valley of bones talking to them. You'd say, oh, we should go the other way around, right? It's ridiculous. But it's not just Ezekiel's words, is it? It's God's words. And God's word has this peculiar power. God's words aren't just information. They're not just descriptors. God's word actually does what it says. Let there be light, and what happens? There's light. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. Can you just imagine that? Just hear that rattling in your imagination? And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. Ooh, but look at this. But there was no breath in them. The Hebrew word for breath is ruach. It's really fun to say. You got to get the phlegm going a little bit. Ruach. Go ahead and say ruach. Ruach. There was no breath, ruach, in them. By the way, ruach is also the same word for spirit, as in the Holy Spirit. There's no breath in these bodies. They're not alive yet. These bones have turned into bodies, but they're still corpses. They don't have the ruach, the breath, the spirit in them yet. You know, that kind of reminded me of something else in Scripture, right? Maybe if you hit the rewind button, you go way back, like way, way back, right? To Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground. You got the body, and then breathe ruach into his nostrils, the breath of life. And then man became a living creature. It's almost as if man's creation was a resurrection, right? God formed his body and then raised that body to life. By the way, if you fast forward just a tiny little bit, then you have the creation of the woman. And what was she made from again? A bone. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, O ruach, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Isn't that so cool? Imagine if we had one who could do that for us. What does God say? You shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit, Ruach, upon you and within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. Ezekiel's talking about Jesus, the one who makes dry bones live, the one who will make your dry bones live. How will you recognize the Savior? When he raises you from the dead. The Savior will be one who can do that. And check it out. Fast forward a bunch in the Bible, and what do you see? A Savior who is doing that. Lazarus, come out! He preaches to dead Lazarus, and guess what? Lazarus obeys! By the way, that's what gets Jesus killed. The Jewish leaders don't really like saviors who can raise people from the dead, and so they kill him, but does he stay down for long? Nope. Because guess what? We can recognize our Savior as one who can make dry bones live. Jesus rises from the dead, and then that evening of Easter, he shows up to his disciples, and what does he do? What does he say? The risen Jesus breathed on the disciples, Ruach, and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Friends, our religion is one that believes in the resurrection of the dead. That your body will rise from the dead. That's what you believe, dear Christian. And it's a biological resurrection. Your body, your same body, and it doesn't matter how it goes, whether it's by fire or alligator or something else, hit by a train, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter how long it's dead for. It could be bones, it could be dust. Your body, biologically, will rise from the dead. And it's not just a biological resurrection. It's also a spiritual resurrection. Because resurrection is not just your soul escaping from the body. It's your soul together with the body. Because the Spirit is the one who makes us alive. The Spirit is one that animates the whole person so that when you are risen from the dead, it is in your body. But it's not just your body. It's your whole person. It's life as God intends your life to be. So that it's a physical resurrection and it's also a mental resurrection. Some of us need that more than others. And an emotional resurrection, and a relational resurrection, and a vocational resurrection. You'll be raised from your sin, and you'll leave your sin in the grave. You will be completely renewed, because that's the Spirit's work of Ruach. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Friends, one day life will fully be as it should be in the new creation. And right now, you and I are still walking around with bones crunching under our feet. We're in the valley of dry bones, but we are the dry bones that have been made alive. And we have a spiritual resurrection that leads to physical resurrection. You have already been made alive by the Holy Spirit in your baptism, which means that you can recognize Jesus as Lord because he is risen from the dead and he gives you life right now. And you are being fed as bones who have been made alive in the Spirit. You are fed with his word, and his word baptizes you. His word feeds you with the body and blood of the one who is risen from the dead. His word gives you the life-giving forgiveness. And it also guides you as resurrected people. It gives you hope as people who have the Holy Spirit. It gives you faith. It comforts you and connects you. The one who makes dry bones live has made you alive. One last thing too. Do you notice that the same God who says, let there be light, and what happens? There's light. In the beginning, he spoke that word himself. In Ezekiel's vision, who spoke God's word? Ezekiel. God can put his words on your lips, and it does the same thing. You get to make others alive by giving them God's word, giving them hope, giving them forgiveness. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach, is the breath in your lungs and gives you God's words. Jesus prophesies to dry bones through your human lips. And if that's the case, then I've got a question for you. So, sons and daughters of man, can these bones live? Yes. The Lord knows. And now you know. And we get to make it known that we have one who can make dry bones live. In Jesus' name, amen.